It's Mother's Day. And next Sunday is really an important day in the history of this church. Some way, somehow, we got to figure out how to emphasize both of these. I want us to talk today about seeing the unseen. There are some things it's very easy for us to overlook. And so in Acts chapter 26, when Paul is called to be an apostle, the Lord says to him in verse 16 of that chapter, "Rise and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you for this very purpose." And that purpose is stated in verse 17 when he says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes. Do you understand that there is a spiritual sight that we have because we're Christians? We walk by faith and not by sight. You young adults and young people know that most people your age are walking by their feelings. If it's there, I want it. I'm going to take it right this minute. Walking by feelings. That doesn't mean that young people are the only ones that do that. Some of us old codgers get real crotchety in our lives and everything. And if we get upset about something, we don't think about faith. We think about expression, our attitudes. The design of Christianity is help us to see things that are difficult to see. And obviously this lesson, because of the very scope of the lesson, will emphasize two or three important things in our lives that we need to be aware of. There is the difficulty that we have in seeing some things. Now the first one, because of this day, I hope you are aware of it. And that is, sometimes it's difficult for us to see the value of mothers. You know, they're the unsung heroes. If your children have turned out good husbands, the likelihood is that it's true in your life, that is what's true in my life, and that is that you made a good marriage. Mothers shaped this world. And if I say the word Samuel, if I say the word Timothy, if I talk about Jesus and James, that brother of Jesus who wrote one of the books of the New Testament, you cannot talk about Samuel, you cannot talk about Timothy, you cannot talk about Jesus and James without thinking about Hannah. And for those of you who are dyslexic, you will love the name Hannah. You may observe, and the reason I recall this, my brother was preaching a sermon one time and he says, "I can't think of that woman's name, but it's spelled the same backwards the way it is frontwards." I don't know if that means he's dyslexic, but think about Hannah. Forget about her name and think about what she did. God has given me this child, and as long as I have this child, he'll belong to the Lord. And you'll not have a Timothy. You'll not have a Timothy without having a mother named Eunice, and you won't have a Eunice without a Lois. You might have it, but to say those names is to talk about the importance of mothers. And you think about Jesus, and we ignore those other children that Mary had, but isn't it remarkable that one of those other children that Mary and Joseph had wrote one of the books of the New Testament? Mothers, and the value of them. Sitting up on the pulpit today, I saw some amazing things. I was amazed in recent months, not today, but I was amazed in recent months to see a grandmother as that closing prayer was being led, and I was walking out of the auditorium of that grandmother helping that little granddaughter, maybe 2 or 3 years of age, fold her hands. Lord, teach us to pray. And one of the avenues that God has given, learning how to pray, is for mothers and grandmothers who have that special ability. I saw mothers, and I see mothers in this auditorium right now with their children, trying to teach them this is really important. It's important for us to be quiet. And how thankful I am that no babies are crying right this minute. But I am thankful that there are mothers who want their children to grow up. I'm thankful whenever they cry and you know they're going to keep crying that you take them out to, well, I don't know if you know, we have a ballroom here in this church building, but if you'll spell ball, B-A-W-L, we have one of those. I'm thankful for those mothers who take those children out not to play, but to talk sternly to them and bring them back in and say, this is really important. I saw a grandmother this morning holding a songbook for a grandchild and pointing to the words in that songbook to teach that child how to sing. And later in that service, I saw that child singing all by himself and his friend sitting right beside him. And his friend was watching him singing, and all of a sudden the friend was singing. You know the debt we owe our mother? It's just remarkable. I want to read to you a letter that is 70 years old. It's written, if you look at the envelope itself, right on the front, you may be able to see right in the middle of it, "Do not open until Mother's Day." Up in the left-hand corner is a name, Roy C. Bates. There's his military number. You look inside that box that's there, passed by the Army inspector before this letter could be sent from Germany. It's a letter from a man who really loved his mother. And so he writes, better open up the letter, the print's a little bit larger on this, and you may not even be able to read the words that are on the screen, but after all, today's lesson is seeing the unseen, and this might help. "Dearest Mother, ever since about 2 weeks ago, when some of us boys were talking about home and Mother's Day getting closer, one of the boys whose name is Don, who's an orphan, he told us, and now the full force of what he had said hit me with one of his questions." You look up in the upper right-hand corner of that letter, and there's the word Germany with a question mark by it, not allowed to tell his mother where he was in Germany. Sometimes you go weeks. She'd go weeks, maybe months, without getting a letter from him. He was at the Battle of the Bulge. A hero there, received a medal because of what he had done. And so a mother gets this letter, and when it's open, she couldn't open it till Mother's Day, and she tore it open. And her son says, "An orphan asked me what it's like to have a mother. We were sitting there talking when all of a sudden he asked, 'What's it like to have a mother?' For a minute there was stunned silence. What could we say? Here was something we had always and always known. Something that we thought of so little and yet felt its presence so strongly. I began to collect my thoughts, and I said, 'Look, Don, it's like this. Suppose you should wake up tomorrow and the sun was gone from the skies, or tomorrow night and there was no moon or stars. Think what it's like to think of what the world without having your mom. She's the warmth of your days and the light of your darkness. She loves you. She holds your hand when you take your first step and kisses away the pain when you bruise your arm. I know that, said Don. Well, what's she like? What do you say to her? I guess you don't say much anything to her, Don. I remember when I was a kid and I had the measles. I was pretty sick. I remember waking up during the night, and when I opened my eyes, she was standing by my bed. She was standing there waiting patiently and watching. She was ready to help, to get me some things if I needed, or just to talk to me if I wanted to. As I got better, I remember my eagerness to get out and play. One day I did. I rushed out into the sunshine, yelling to my playmates and the world that was and that I was all better. I didn't say a word to my mother, but mothers are funny. All the things she wanted was to have me to get well. Thing about later made me realize just how much I owed her. But it seems that a guy never does get around to the right words for thanking his mother. No poet has ever written thanks the way our hearts say it. As for what she's like, well, the best words to describe this is something I quote. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Meek, righteous, merciful, pure of heart. These things describe what she is like. Thinking about it, I do know where they receive their proper thanks. There must be a special place in heaven for mothers. But if mothers had their own way, they'd probably choose just to be with their sons, waiting patiently, ready to help, to talk or to do something. Mom, this is only a little way I know to tell you how much I love you, and you're the sweetest mom in the world. Your loving son. Look at the envelope again. My uncle wrote that to my grandmother. Young people, you need to love your mamas. You wouldn't be where you were without them. You folks have heard me tell other stories about my grandmother. We called her Mama. I was the last of the kids. I didn't choose to give her the name everybody else called her. They called her Big Mama. I said that at a white church in Birmingham, and somebody says, was she black? Seeing the unseen. We need to honor our mothers because Christianity opens our eyes to see the unseen. changing directions. There's another thing we need to appreciate that we cannot see. That is the eyes of God and the ears of God and the presence of God in our lives. There's an interesting story in 2 Kings. Briefly to tell the story, the Syrian king had come down. He brought his entire army to capture one Jew. Syria was a great enemy of the northern kingdom, that Jewish nation, and he needed one man. And that man's name was Elisha. Every time the king was trying to beat the Jews in some battle, he'd go to that place and the Jews' army that he was going to attack and overcome and destroy was no longer there. And he thought he had a spy among him, and so he said, "What's happening? Who's telling the Jews where my army is going to be marching?" And they said, "It's none of us, but there's a man in Israel. He's a prophet. He's the one. We don't have a spy in our midst. There's a man among the Jews who knows what's going on." So he sends his entire army down to Dothan. Look in verse 13. It was said, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore, the Syrian king sent horses and chariots and a great army there and came by night at night and surrounded the cities. And when the servant of the man of God arose, he went out. There was a great army surrounded the city with horses and chariots. And his servant says to Elisha, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He sees the visible, and he is destroyed by what he sees. Christianity allows us to see the unseen. And so Elisha says, "Do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them." I don't know that it happened, Mike, this way. If I'd been that servant, I'd looked out there and I'd seen 100,000 troops. And I'd looked at Elisha and I'd go, "One, two. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them." Don't put the next slide on the screen yet, but Elisha says, "Let's pray." "What are you going to pray about, Elisha?" "I know what if I was Elisha I'd be praying about." You know, it'd be that prayer, the shortest prayer in the Bible when Peter's sinking there, when the Lord tells him to walk on the water with him, shortest prayer in the Bible is, "Lord, save me." You want to hear the prayer? Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots all around Elisha. That's your God. And that's your God. If you think that your mother and father may love you, there's nothing to begin to compare. We just can't see it. The Bible talks about as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord has surrounded Jerusalem. The prophet says the Lord is the wall around that city. Job said, the devil said to God, whenever they were talking about Job, "You put a hedge around that man. We can't touch him." And the psalmist says, the angels of the Lord surround his people. Are they, angels, not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation? Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. I do not know how angels work. But this I do know. How many angels are there? I don't know. The Bible talks about thousands of thousands. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, uses the word myriad. How many angels are there? I do not know. I just know that they are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. His eyes are open, are over us. His ears are open to our prayers. That's His providence. And His heart is filled with love and open to us. And when life tumbles in, and it will, they that are with us are more than those that are with our enemies. We need to learn to see the unseen. We do not see the value of a mom, nor do we understand and appreciate His providence. But every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. The final thing is, our theme for this month is seeing souls. With God, we can see the souls around us. And there lies before us this next Sunday another one of those special opportunities to try to help people that are around us and people that we know find out what's here. I pick on Gorman a lot. Rightly so. How many weeks ago was it, Gorman, that you had 6 or 8 folks here? And look who's here today. You know why they came? Because Gorman manifests in his life a concern and care for others. That if you knew this man, you'd be remarkable how much he does for others. And so he says to people down where he lives, come to church with me. Can I tell the rest of that story, Gorman? He said to those people, you folks are such sinners, I don't know if you'll be able to get in. And do you know what they said back to him? They let you in, didn't they? If Gorman can do that, why cannot we all? Well, they won't come if I invite them. Did the Lord say, go and hogtie them and you know, the kingdom of heaven is like a man that went out, not to sow seed, he went out to rustle cattle. And he lassoed them and tied their legs together and drew them into the kingdom. I don't believe that parable's in the Bible. The kingdom of heaven, that's us, is a body of people, a church, a family, whose responsibility is not to go and to force people to come into this building. It's not even to go and to try to find people that will come into the building. Can I say that again? It's not our responsibility to go and try to find people who will come with us. When the man went out sowing seed, He threw that seed on wayside soil. You know that? That parable? That's the hard path on the side. And the seed wouldn't even get into that, at least it apparently wouldn't. And yet that seed, by the way, is so powerful that the devil came and picked up that seed, the Word of God, and took it off of the heart, the most hard-hearted person there was. You know anybody's hard pressed against? Somebody probably wouldn't come anyway. Wonderful. What an opportunity you've got this next week. He didn't say go out and find good soil. You go out, here's some wayside soil. Somebody, can we see the souls that are around us? I guess we'll skip that passage from John 4 and get down to this wayside soil. Can you see that stony ground? People that they're so wrapped up in what they're doing, they might come for a little while, but they wouldn't stick. They're not kind of people that hang around. Wonderful, you got somebody to invite. What about that person that's so worldly? The thorny ground, you remember the thorns, the worldliness that chokes the Word of God out of the heart and won't let the Word reach fruition? You know anybody like that? How great that is! See, as we think about Friends and Family Day, all we think about is, I got to find somebody that when I ask them to come, will say yes. You never know. Since I picked on Gorman, I'll do one more time. If I'd asked Gorman 10 years ago to come to this building, he'd have laughed and told me to get out of here. Things happen in your life. And things are happening right now in the lives of people that have told you, don't talk to me about this. They've changed. And for me to say, well, I asked them one time. I'm not trying to fuss and put everybody on a guilt trip. I'm just trying to help us see what this church is all about, what these special days in this building are all about. It is to go out and sow the seed. That's it. And if they come, wonderful. But if they don't come, that's all right. I guess go back and put John 4 up there one more time where Jesus said to the Samaritan woman or to the people in Samaria, he said to them, the woman goes into the city. You know that story. She says, I've met this man, verse 29, and he's told me everything that I ever did. He must be the Messiah. And when they went out of the city and came to him, in the meantime, the disciples who'd been into the city to buy food come out to see Jesus. And Jesus says, they said, Lord, eat. You know what they're seeing? They're seeing the food. They're seeing what you can see. We've been into the city. Here we got this food. Lord, it's time to eat. And the Lord said, I have food to eat that you don't even know about. And they said, somebody else has brought him lunch. They're still seeing the visible. And sometimes in personal work, that's what we do, and we are just as blind to helping others find the Lord as we can possibly be. And so the Lord says to them, my food is to do what's right. I want to tell you something. I don't want you to ever forget it. It's always right to do right. It's always wrong to do wrong. And it's never right to do wrong. And it's never wrong to do right. And that's right because the Bible's right. Jesus said, the food I live is to do His will. And then He turned to these guys whose eyes needed to be opened. He says, lift up your eyes. The fields white unto harvest. You know who he's looking at? Samaritans. You know how the Jews felt about Samaritans? They're the lowest class people on this earth. They are a mixed race. We don't like them. We don't even want to associate with them in any way. And Jesus says, lift up your eyes. The harvest is ripe. Seeing the unseen. But preparing this lesson, I finally read slow enough to read verse 35 and especially verse 36. He who reaps receives wages. When there's a harvest, there's an extra reward that you get when you lead somebody to the Lord. He receives the joy of baptizing somebody. But what about the man that sows? The rest of the thing says, he receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. You know who the sower is? He's the guy who's throwing the seed out here on the wayside soil. He's the guy who's throwing the seed over there on the thorny ground or the stony ground, and then all of a sudden there's harvest. And believe it or not, Gorman, there's joy for you being a part of what we're trying to be here. Somebody put some labels on a magazine that went to Gorman's house. Don't blame me for Gorman being here. You put the label. Sowed the seed. Stony, wayside, that's the things we are not seeing in getting the gospel to the world. We sit back and think the Lord has made us soil inspectors. And I can only sow seed where the good is found. Lift up your eyes. They're wide unto harvest. Now, before you get too puffed up and arrogant, you probably were not good soil. And others might have looked at you and said, I don't know why she married him, don't know why he married her. That kid will never amount to anything. And somebody saw the possibility in you of you being something else. And that makes us deader. Let's see the unseen. Let's treasure our mothers. Let's see the unseen. Let's thank God that even as we go out and invite people, the angels of the Lord minister to us in some way. And as we serve Him in everything that we do, let's see the angels of the Lord. But above all, in view of what we're going to have here next Sunday, let's see souls, not just the good soil, wayside, thorny, stony, and we have as much obligation to the wayside soil as we do to the good soil. God help us. We come to that part of the service where we're going to sing that invitation, because it may be that you and I need to serve the Lord in every way that we can and please Him, and it may be that you have not obeyed the gospel. You need to see the value of your souls. You need to believe in the Lord. Jesus said, he who disbelieves will be condemned. And you need to make up your mind to follow Him. That's repentance. The Bible says, except you repent, you'll perish. And when you've confessed your faith in Jesus, you then need to be immersed. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. There are people say, he who believes and is not baptized shall be saved. But that's not what Jesus said. He shall be saved who believes and who is baptized. The Bible says, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins It's the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. But it is Jesus who says that the sins are washed away when we arise and are baptized. Have you done that? If you'll do it, you'll be born of water and of the Spirit. You'll be in His kingdom, in His family. And then He just says to all of us, guys, don't give up. You don't have to be sinlessly perfect. Just be somebody I can trust. I've given you a commission, and I trust you to do it, Jesus says. And you fulfill that commission. You be full of faith, and I'll give you the crown of life. How can this church help you go to heaven? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as we stand and sing? Will you come?